You're listening to Wisdom of the Ancients, where ancient wisdom is remembered.
Hello and welcome. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Wisdom of the Ancients, the webinar series. I'm your host, Ian Shelley, and thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today. The Wisdom of the Ancients series is about ancient wisdom. It's about what was once known, what was once remembered, and is now forgotten. Ancient practices, knowledge, and wisdom, not only from our own planet, but from other worlds, other galaxies, other realms and dimensions as well. Ancient also means remembering our core, our own true self, the greatest version of ourselves that we can be, our higher selves. And the theme for this particular series is vessels of love, light, and service. May we all be open to receiving any messages the divine has for us, so that we become a true offering to do our part to help raise the collective consciousness for all beings in all realms. And right now we call in the ancient ones to support us today, to open our hearts. So let me introduce our next guest to you. Ken W. Stone, the soul archaeologist, is a spiritual messenger and founder of the Resonance Experiment. Utilizing his spiritual unique gifts, Ken supports people from around the world shift from seeking to experiencing so they can begin living, engaging, and serving from the perspective of their innate wholeness while enjoying all the natural byproducts of divine mystery that follow. He serves a diverse, growing spiritual community in deepening their experience with the divine within. Ken has spoken alongside such luminaries as Dr. Bruce Lipton, Neil Donald Walsh, Lynn McTaggart, Marianne Williamson, Don Miguel Ruiz, Thomas Keating, and many other spiritual leaders, powerful spiritual leaders. And we have Ken with us today. Welcome, Ken. It's wonderful to have you on the show.
Great to be here, Ian. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, the community is looking forward to hearing about embodying and experiencing divine resonance. So that's what Ken's going to be sharing with us today, everyone. And some of the things that you can all and we can experience during the call today. How soul embodiment can be a powerful pathway from feeling disempowered to empowered and from overwhelmed to focused and clear, moving forward in your life with confidence. You're going to learn a process or experience a process for powerful supporting integration of your separate self that you may fully experience your whole self in every aspect of your being and life and experience the visceral feeling, sense of divine resonance in our bodies, perhaps as we've never felt before. So I'm personally looking forward to feeling that in my body. And then Ken's going to be taking live questions. So everyone, *2 to raise your hand if you'd like to speak to Ken. And be sure to dial in and do that, or you can put in your question in the question box, which is on the webinar page. Just put in your name and your question, and you can get hold of Ken. So Ken's going to be giving up his time and his abilities to you, the community, to take those personal questions. And then also later on in the call towards the end, Ken's going to take us through a soul embodiment exercise. So make sure you're here for that. That's going to be a powerful exercise. So that's a little bit of the housekeeping out of the way, so to speak. But we have Ken Stone with us. And Ken, so we've never had you on this particular show before, but of course you have a tremendous following throughout the world, really. And not just here in the U.S. And we also have a global audience, but some of our audience might not be familiar with you, might not have heard you, in person, so to speak. And so, you know, I've given the formal introduction. If you wouldn't mind, in your own words, just give us a little bit of background. You know, who is Ken Stone?
It always makes me giggle. Who is Ken Stone? Well, I love to laugh, and a little bit about my background. I love connecting with people. And so, you know, for me, I know there are a lot of people in your community who have had a sense of their divine gifts their whole life and, you know, who woke up with these amazing points of awareness. I am not one of those people. I kind of woke up spiritually speaking in my mid to late 30s, and shortly thereafter learned to meditate. It wasn't that many years ago, actually. In August of 2007, I guess we're coming up on about 11 years ago here next month. And but I didn't know how to meditate before that, is my point. That's when I learned how to meditate. And then I went to an in-residence meditation retreat in September of 2007. And there, a fellow participant at the closing meditation, when we were, you know, air quotes, randomly paired up, because nothing is random, but we were paired up randomly. And he wrote on a piece of paper, because we were still in silence. We'd been doing 5 days of profound spiritual work. And he wrote on this piece of paper, "You should be working as a healer." And I started sobbing uncontrollably, even though I didn't know what the word healer meant. And I was making my living at the time as a mortgage lender. So I was living a conventional life, doing conventional things. And from there on out, everything got scrambled up. A different thing unfolded. And and so no near-death experience, no big excitement on that front, but very much a very, very different life than the one I had envisioned or planned for myself. I think that's a safe thing to say. And it's just further and further into the divine mystery every step of the way. You know, initially leaving mortgage lending behind, that was an interesting transition. And, the other thing that makes – I'm sort of weird on multiple fronts, but one of the things that I'm that makes me kind of weird is that I haven't really studied with anyone. I don't have an earthly guru or a spiritual teacher that I studied under. And so I just kind of started getting downloads, and my hands and feet started buzzing, and crazy stuff started happening, crazy, wonderful stuff. And then I started seeing stuff, and, you know, one thing led to another, and you connect the dots and you start seeing trends and this and this. And, you know, here we are these years later, and I'm very blessed to be able to make my living this way. And every time I get the chance to connect with people, it makes me a little giggly, because I think, well, how is God going to show up now, and what's going to happen when we connect? So that's a little bit about me.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, you mentioned the buzzing, and in the inner circle, you're kind of famous for that, so to speak.
Yeah.
and everyone receives their gifts from the divine, and you know, you could be one person today and a completely different person tomorrow, even the next second. So, I mean, that all resonates. Yeah. I guess pun intended. That all resonates with the
audience. Yeah, that resonates.
Let's talk about the buzzing a little bit. So, I'd like to find out a little bit more about the buzzing, because you have clients from all over the world, and you have high-end clients. People come to you because you deliver I'll let you tell people, but what do you do, letting people know what you do, and why do people come to you, and what's with the buzzing?
So, you know, what's amazing for me right now, Ian, is that I'm actually starting to cry. It's moving me, because what we're talking about is so so core to, I think, what my mission is and the reason why I believe I've been given these gifts. And let's be clear, I've been given them. They express through me, and they are very much the divine. I think the reason why people come to me is because they have a direct, visceral – what I mean by that is they feel in their bodies their – it's not just their connection with the divine by whatever name. I mean, I'm very blessed to work with people of all different spiritual and religious backgrounds and, you know, variety of different cultures and so on. So it's not about the name of the nameless one. It's about the experience, the direct encounter. And I guess some people might call that a mystical experience. I don't like that word because it sounds extraordinary. It sounds like something that is so far out of the everyday that it's not accessible to the rest of us. And something about the way that, you know, God works through me, when I sit with a group or individuals or you know, however I'm blessed to be able to serve and support and share my gifts, they begin having a direct experience, not of who they think they are necessarily, but who they really are. And I don't mean the part of you that thinks, I don't mean to impose this on you, but I'll just say first person, the part of me that used to think, well, if anyone really knew who I was, they wouldn't talk to me, you know, like I'm rotten to my core at the center of my being, or, you know, whatever version that we all have of that. I don't mean that. That's a projection of the separate self. I mean the undistorted expression of the divine by whatever name, in, through, and as every cell, every bit of the smallest aspects of you, known and unknown. And when all of that begins to take place at the level that you actually can feel it physically, something profound shifts. And it's not a shift from the mental perspective, nothing knocking mental perspectives, that's a powerful resource. It's an experience that exceeds, and I hear this is feedback, it's not necessarily my awareness, but what people tell me when I'm working with them, it just exceeds anything they ever knew themselves to be. And so let me take a stab at a more succinct way of saying that. I think what they do is they begin encountering the people that work with me. They begin encountering the divine mystery in a way that is profoundly different than anything they've ever encountered before. And that has an impact on sort of obvious things in their life and things that aren't so obvious. And for spiritual messengers, people that are out in the world with a mission sharing their gifts, it can have a huge impact on how they connect with their audience and so on. But none of what I'm talking about has anything to do with business advice. In fact, it doesn't even have to involve language. A lot of the people I work with, we're just in absolute silence the whole time. So how's that for a not so long blabblanche trying to answer your question, Ian?
No, that's so beautiful. You know, that is so beautiful because within all of us, we are divine. And to be, yeah. I want to talk about embodiment because, you know, when we embody love, compassion, kindness, yes. Humility, yeah. Innocence, awareness, when we embody those, you know, I was just talking about this last night on the intention call for the series, is that, you know, you don't look back and say, oh, I wish I had been more compassionate in that situation. Oh, I wish I had shown more love, because you just are. You just
That's
are,
right.
And you're, and yeah. it is your true nature, your true self. So, the gift that you have to bring that out, and I'm going to let you use your own words in just a moment, but to bring that out, or that's not even the right way to put it. To me, it's like a flower blossoming from within. That you become that flower, you become the fragrance.
Right.
To allow someone to feel that way is such an amazing gift, because when they feel that way, they can truly be of service not only to themselves but to others as well. It's amazing.
That's it.
Yeah,
it's it, man. Thing. That's the whole thing right there. See, and the reason why it moves me to tears is because when somebody initially has that encounter with themselves and with the divine, it's not out there. It's not way up there in the sky, or it's right in here. It's in the body. I'm waving my hands at my chest, at my abdomen, at my hips. It's right in here, that origin, that first encounter. It's so moving. And then when that person begins to discover their gifts, I mean, that's moving on an entirely different level. And as they keep stepping further and further into the mystery of that presence within, they become more present to themselves and to everything in their lives, and, you know, to the miracles that unfold in that presence, and on and on. I mean, just all these absolutely extraordinary things begin unfolding. And it's not unfolding because we're doing a bunch of heavy lifting, like, I got to have this thought, I have to visualize this. Nothing wrong with those things. Those are wonderful resources. But the way that my gifts unfold, it's not about that. It's just about uncovering. That's why a friend of mine named me the soul archaeologist years ago. It's like we're excavating down. We're uncovering that treasure, that presence that is within every single human being on the planet. And to your point, it's not, we don't have to think about it. We don't have to remind ourselves. It is the essence that is oozing through our very presence, out of every pore in our bodies, if you want to think of it that way. And without any extra effort, that's just who we all are. And when we begin having experiences of that on a regular basis, it's just, oh, man, it's the bee's knees. That's the whole thing as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. Beautiful. I mean, man. All right, everyone. That was an amazing show. Thank you for being on. I mean, no, we've got lots more. I mean, we could just record that and hit play and repeat. That's so incredible. Yeah. So tell us, let me just say
one more thing about the buzzing and the hands and feet. So you had asked about that. So what does that have to do? Well, so from my standpoint, I feel like I'm witnessing. That's the best word that I can use. If it's not too bold to say it this way, and I mean it with absolute humility, I feel like I get to see or witness or experience the individuals and groups that I work with, this group, this circle, as the divine experiences and witnesses and sees them. And it's so, that's definitely not from my mind or from my separate or small self or any of that. And in that process, I begin having feedback that just spontaneously erupted first in me, I guess back in January of 2008, my feet started buzzing. And I thought, well, that's weird. What does that mean? And then a little while later, my hand started buzzing. And I did this with a bunch of different people. And what I started noticing is that when my feet buzz, they were coming into a state of alignment energetically with the divine. It's like they're returning to who they really are at the core, at the level of energy or spiritually, we could say. And then when my hands would start buzzing, then that meant that the mirror, the body, or the outward expression of their life was coming into resonance. And so when my hands and feet would buzz together, I learned over time, oh my gosh, if there's somebody in pain, their pain's gone or it's diminishing. Or if there's somebody who's in a struggle in their intimate relationship, that's beginning to shift. And I mean, if you asked me, like, let's go back and be a fly on the wall for those first 6 months or 2 years, or even today, okay, Ken, what's actually going on? Like, what's making your hands and feet buzz? I would say, well, I kind of feel like I'm just holding on to the third rail on a subway system, meaning the electric rail. And the electric rail here is God. Like, I don't really know what's happening. Just you're returning to who you really are. And I've got a lot of language to try to describe it, but the language is all just basically signposts that there's a big arrow that says down here underneath language, something's happening. And we'll just use this word as a substitute for that because there's no word for the thing that's really going on. And yeah. And that's the buzzing and buzzing of hands and feet. And that's how it relates to, let's say, this experience of who we really are. When people begin having that experience within themselves, I'm aware of it because my hands and feet start buzzing.
So this is what you term divine resonance, or is that something else? So is the divine resonance the physical sensation within your body?
Yeah, exactly. So my experience of divine resonance is, of course, it's particular to me, right? And some people, I'll work with them over time, and some people actually start getting buzzing hands and feet, but it's not everyone. Some people get, you know, different sensations in their body. It's not a process of creating mini-me's, if that makes sense. It's more that the divine is moving, expressing, present in each of us, no matter what's been done to us or what we've done to other people. That doesn't matter. And we can have the experience of that divine resonance. There's a raw sensation associated with it. And then there are all these other things for which we do have language, like you were saying, peace and compassion and love and a sense of connection and joy. And all those things are, I would call them ancillary experiences or byproducts of that core experience of divine resonance.
So one of the things that that we mentioned that people will hear about today is how they can amplify their intuition or the intuitive and other spiritual gifts. So talk to us a little bit, Ken, around how that can, I don't want to say be achieved, but how that can happen.
Yeah. So if you think about it, as we embody, and what I mean by embodiment is we have an experience from the perspective of separation that our souls are descending into our bodies. And for everyone just sitting and listening, if you're not driving, just close your eyes for a minute and just remember a time in your life when there was a friend or a loved one who was, let's say, an advanced stage cancer or had just returned from a deployment overseas, doesn't matter what country you're in, or been through a natural disaster. And remember the look in their eyes, almost like some of the light had dimmed in their eyes. And what you're seeing there is the outward sign of somebody who is substantially disembodied. So we all have an awareness of embodiment or disembodiment. It's just not maybe delineated to the level that I do with language. So that's disembodiment. That's where the soul is up top of the head or just hanging on by a thread. If the soul leaves the body, then we call that physical death, right? So as the soul comes down into the body, as it descends from the head all the way down to the base of the hips, all the way down to the pelvic floor. And for men, when we embody, it's just a little bit lower based on our anatomy. But as that happens, everything that is in its path is enlivened. So the totality of the vessel or the instrument of your human body is enlivened. And one of the aspects of the vessel that we all have is an intuitive component to it. And that can express in many different ways. I guess the traditional sense of intuition might be you're seeing something or you're hearing something, all the various clairs. It's my perception and my experience that we all have at least two of those gifts and maybe more. And one of the ways that they're amplified within us is that when we embody, those gifts are animated and enlivened in a way that maybe they weren't previously. And I've been very blessed to work with some world-renowned spiritual messengers one-on-one. And so, you know, I've worked with people who are just developing their gifts, and I've worked with people who are literally world-renowned for their gifts. And I noticed that each and every person who goes through this embodiment practice and process, there's just a profound deepening of many different things, but among them, the intuitive faculty and that sense of intuition that can express through the body. So much so, I actually call it the intuitive guidance system. I think the body is an intuitive guidance system. For me, it was the primary way my intuition came in. And now, you know, I see things and have a sense of knowing and hear. I mean, there's all this other stuff going on. But my gift as it initially presented itself was buzzing hands and feet. And so through that, I was able to understand an enormous amount and effectively communicate with God without hearing God's voice or words in response, not only in session, but in my own life. And then, you know, I've supported a lot of people in developing that sense within themselves as a secondary or a third level refinement of their own gifts and their own awareness. It's really extraordinary. Embodiment has so many different gifts to it. It's just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely loving and appreciating this conversation today from a personal level. You know, we all have our version on our spiritual path. You know, what is the Holy Grail? And
right.
for me personally, this is like my Holy Grail, where you right. where you really embody unity consciousness as well. You know,
right.
this to me is unity consciousness personified.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. So I'm just loving this conversation. Thank you so much.
Oh man,
yeah.
Thank you. I mean, I feel like this is one of the things I'm here for, and I'm obviously just a little bit excited and enthusiastic to share. So I appreciate the opportunity to have the conversation and share with your community, Ian. It's really an honor.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Talking about embodiment and the practice of embodiment. So when you work with someone to get them to a point where they feel it, or maybe you can talk us through what that process looks like. And also, is it something
sure.
that just happens once? Is it ongoing? You know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, what, let's say a member of our community. So someone wants to work with you and someone goes through the process. What would they experience and what does that look like?
Yeah, it's a great question, Ian. So if it's okay with you, I'd like to kind of set some context to answer the question for the discussion we're going to have. And the context is what I've been seeing now, I don't know for how many years, and teaching, I call it the four stages of consciousness. And I recognize this is sort of an oversimplification, but I really feel drawn as a messenger to oversimplify things because I think if they're complicated, then the truth is hidden somewhere in it. But if it's simplified, maybe it just presents itself to us in some obvious way. So anyway, so stage one consciousness is victim consciousness, meaning I see outside myself others and probably everyone or at least lots of people who have within them the power that I want, right? They have the power to have the life they want, but I don't. I'm a victim of their control of circumstance or people or life situation and so on. And I want to delineate between victim consciousness and being victimized. Those are two different things. We can be victimized, that is, have an experience of being victimized, without moving into victim consciousness. Victim consciousness is identified with the disempowered separate self. And what I mean by the separate self is the aspect in each of us. I believe this is actually a gift, maybe the biggest gift that God gives each of us, is the gift of separation. And the separate self grows out of that. It is the part of us that thinks, I can fix this. I can control what's going to happen here. I can make this the way I want it to be. The I in that case is my separate self, if that makes sense. So stage one is identified with the disempowered separate self. Stage two is what I call manifester or controlling consciousness. And in this dynamic, and by the way, in stage one, God has abandoned me. God's forgotten about me, or God's punishing me by whatever name, the universe, source, the divine, whatever, is punishing me, right? Or has forgotten or abandoned me. In stage two, there's a miraculous transformation. Now I'm identified with the empowered separate self. I am the master of my universe. I'm the author of what I create. God all of a sudden has gone from forgetting about me to now God's my servant. I tell God what to do. And everything I experience, I create. It's a very powerful stage of consciousness. And then there is stage three. In stage three, radical transformation once again. In stage three, I subordinate myself to the divine. This is really the glass ceiling of stage two. And this is where a lot of the planet is right now, at that glass ceiling of stage two. It's like people either come down to one of two things. I either can have what I want, anything I want. I'm a master manifester and I can create it, money, houses, jets, whatever. But secretly, deep down inside, or maybe publicly, I'm still really unhappy. And unfortunately, we've seen a whole bunch of people like this lately who have committed suicide, right? They've come to the end of their rope. They appear to have what other people would describe as anything they want, and yet they are ending their lives. It's a very sad thing, right? And the other dynamic at the end of stage two consciousness is that I can't have it, right? So now all of a sudden there's something wrong with me. But either way, whether I have the things I want or I don't, there's the same conclusion is there's something wrong with me. When we move into stage three, we realize there's nothing wrong with me. It's just that I've had a stop sign out for God. Hey, God, I got this all covered. I'm going to handle this. I'm going to create the reality that I want. But notice the I who's creating is the separate self. And everything that's created in separation is imbued in separation. And so consequently, it's like eating from a buffet of separate food, meaning I eat it and all I get is hungrier for the thing I seek, which is my wholeness, my actual connection with the divine. And so then I move into stage three. I surrender, right? Now I let go of control. And as I let go of control and effectively put the divine in charge of my life, I am a servant of God rather than God being my servant. And something greater than me begins expressing in, through, and as my life. It's a profound transformation, absolutely profound. And then in the fourth stage of consciousness, we have I am. I and the divine are one, right? So why go into all this rigmarole about the four stages of consciousness? Well, for lots of reasons. I think it helps us understand where we're at in our lives and where we've been, but it also informs our experience around embodiment. So the experience of embodiment, first of all, it's the only spiritual practice that I'm aware of that continues to express and be experienced in all four stages of consciousness. You don't surrender in union. Right? If you surrender in union, the divine is now separate. If you ask a tree, tell me about surrendering to God, the tree says, what are you talking about? I am. And the same would be true of a human being in union, right? If you say, tell me about your surrender practice, that individual would say, I don't know what you're talking about. I am. And so, but still, they're having an experience of the embodied divine, that is the animated, resonant, visceral presence of the divine, but now it's not just within, it is as them in the world. So somebody in stage one might have an experience during embodiment of some trauma coming up to be transmuted, some blocks that they had been tripping over, or a pattern of disempowerment that wasn't being cleared, it's being transmuted. Sort of like if you put a big log that's wet in a fire that's not very hot, that log doesn't burn up. But if you put that log in a fire that is really, really hot, the steam all leaves, and then the fire consumes the log. The log is transmuted. Well, through embodiment, we get that fire of divine presence really, really hot. And then it consumes those things that we've been tripping over in our lives, those wounds, those expressions of dissonance that are held in our bodies. And then we can move forward. We're free to move on and develop mentally and spiritually and grow and continue to integrate and so on. And for somebody in stage two, it breaks through that barrier of I have to create my experiences, which is really exciting in early stage two. Oh my gosh, I get to dream and visualize and make things as I want. But the longer we're in stage two, the more, at least what I hear people saying is, the more kind of arduous and stressful it is. Oh my gosh, I have to hold happy thoughts, but I don't feel happy. It's this burden of I'm creating this dynamic, but I don't want it. But if I think about it or let myself feel it, it makes it worse. And, you know, it's like this feedback, negative feedback loop that just gets stronger and stronger. Embodiment for somebody in that dynamic is like a breath of fresh air. It is like being queued up at an oasis after walking in a desert where there's no water. But it's not just that you're submerged in the divine pool. You are being cared for. There are, you know, your divine attendants are giving you a massage, and they're working the oil in, and they're rehydrating you, and so on and so forth. It's profound. And in stage three, that profundity of presence expands now. It's not just a relief in contrast to the oasis. It's a deepening into the mystery. And part of that deepening of the mystery is a recognition that we want to till the soil in our garden and really dig up all those logs that we've been tripping over. And so embodiment, interestingly enough, in stage three can also begin stirring up some of those hidden things that we've tripped over and transmuting them, because the fire is then very hot. And in stage four, it's like, oh, it's like realizing I can feel every part of the life cycle of water. I'm the cloud. I'm the rain and the snow. I'm the iceberg in the sea. I'm the glacier on the mountain peak. I melt and create the river, the stream that flows into the ocean. I am the ocean at the surface and the depth. I am the water evaporating from those bodies of water to bring moisture to the mountain peaks once again. I am. It's more and deeper of what is already there and yet somehow being more deeply revealed through the canvas and the vessel of the human being and body.
Wow. I am the dewdrop on the fresh green growth in spring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Man, let's do this. Let's go to the phones. I think I've been called to do some work with the community right now. So I think what we're going to do is we're just going to open up the phone lines one at a time, obviously, and whatever comes through to whatever comes through to you to ask Ken. And so if you're in San Jose, California, your last four digits of your phone are 5316. You're on live with Ken.
I am.
You are. I am.
Wow. I really appreciate the way the message comes through you, Ken, the way you teach. It's just really very much resonating with me. And so here I am with that fire wanting to get blaze even brighter and coming out of having this shingles in my mouth for the last 6 months.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So that's kind of what's here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Say your first name, please.
Fawn. F-A-W-N.
Fawn.
Like in
yeah,
drink.
Fawn.
Yeah.
So, Fawn, if it's okay, I'd just like to maybe put my hands on you a little bit and see what's going on. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, Fawn, a couple of things that just come up initially. There are these truths that just seem to keep presenting themselves to me, and they become so obvious that I forget to say them, but I think they're important for me to remind myself, and maybe it's helpful for you as well. One of them is that as we come into a deeper experience of resonance, the remaining dissonance becomes more pronounced. And this is true on every level of every system that we could evaluate. So we could think about this energetically, mm-hmm. spiritually, physically, within your being, in your life, in relationship, family, community, country, planet, doesn't matter. Any level of the system being the apparent many expressing as one, right? The apparent many cells expressing as your body. And so, so shingles in the mouth, I imagine that's very uncomfortable and potentially quite disturbing, right, and discouraging. And one of the things to just to notice, and I'm if you may feel this now, and you may actually feel it more because we're going to do an embodiment exercise at the before we close today. So it'll be interesting, and I'll be on. There'll be ways for us to interact, right? We'll talk more about that. I don't want to get caught up in that right now, but there's a way for you and I to continue to interact about this, okay? So, but just notice if, like right now, I'm noticing my hands and feet are starting to buzz more as I sort of move my hands down the core, just supporting you and coming more into your hips. The soul is at home down in the hips. It's fully embodied in the hips, but it's not, it enlivens everything in its path downward. And what many people would describe as a physical healing, for me, is a byproduct of being embodied and experiencing wholeness. And so one of the shifts in kind of perceptual view that I invite that might serve you, maybe you already have this perceptual view, but just realize that this expression that's happening in the mirror has been happening. It's just an artifact of some little aspect of separation, like a little grain of sand that got over the lens and it's casting a shadow into the body. But rather than being some problem, it's just pointing something out. And maybe it doesn't even have to be consciously understood. Maybe what it's doing is just inviting you to be more present with yourself. Now, my mouth isn't buzzing right now, but you're laughing, but it feels like your whole body's buzzing to me. Can you feel that resonance in your body as I'm saying these things?
Absolutely, yes, on a cellular level. And I get a lot of download as you're...
Keep in mind, I'm not sitting here like pulling strings, like make her body buzz. I'm just noticing as I'm talking and as I'm working with you, you're coming into what I would describe as a more embodied, more resonant state. And I think what you'll discover is that not only do the discomforts in the mouth and associated with the shingles start to maybe fade away a little bit, but the primary focus here moves from here's an expression of dissonance that's asking for my attention to here's an invitation into deeper resonance that's asking for my complete presence. Does that resonate?
It really does. And I certainly have been experiencing that in this,
beautiful,
you know, as in this whole process.
Beautiful. Beautiful. What'll be really interesting, and there's a way to do this on the Facebook page that Ian has for the summit here, would be to share after the embodiment exercise, and I'll be checking in later today, and so we can interact there. But I'll be fascinated to hear from you about what is happening for you, and actually for everyone who's listening. Mm-hmm. What happens for you? What begins to shift in your experience, not just perceptually, but viscerally? What changes as you go through that embodiment experience? And how does that begin integrating and playing out in your body and your life in the hours and days and weeks to come?
Okay, I'm very willing to share what comes,
beautiful,
what I experience. Yeah,
beautiful.
I mean, I'm feeling it through my whole, from the top of my crown to all the way down to the bottom of my feet.
Embodiment is like the difference between a tree that's got lights on it, like let's say a Christmas tree, but it doesn't matter if it's a Christmas tree or not, just any tree with lights on it. And you look at it and you think, oh, it's lit up. Versus that tree, and every cell in the tree has its own light, and that light is wired to God. And you look at that tree and you go, whoa, that's the difference for embodiment. It's that powerful. I didn't mean to talk over you, Ian, if there was something coming up for you.
No, I was gonna thank Fawn for calling in. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you
for
Fawn.
Being
thank
willing
you so
to
much.
Show up as a tree.
Yeah.
Awesome, Fawn. Right. Thank you for being here
on the right, cellular level. Thank you both. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. All right. Let's do New York. Let's go to New York City. So. Possibly Irene, 1 2 6.
Yes.
The last word. Hi, Irene. Welcome.
Yes. Yeah, I'm Irene. Thank you so much for choosing me. I've been hoping that you do that. And embodiment is a big issue for me because I feel more intergalactic than earthbound. And so, but my life is happening on planet Earth and it gets blocked occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. A lot of people are having this experience where the most profound kind of dynamic seems to be somewhere else, but we're struggling with how do we express here? And it feels not just like a limitation, but maybe the source of all suffering in our lives. If we could just go home, we think, out there or that other dimension, then everything will resolve. Here's the paradox. The paradox is we actually can go home, and the deepest and most profound experiences that are available to us are available through our embodiment, through fully occupying, fully enlivening the vessel that we express through, the apparent source of all our suffering is actually the pathway to all of our resonance. Now I'm kind of talking over here. I apologize. Is there a question coming up? I got all excited about your comment about feeling like you're more at home elsewhere. So is there something coming up for you to ask about?
My life is not functioning very well. It's almost like I'm not present, and it's not a good deal right now. I am very uncertain. Yeah. I don't know if I need to move or stay where I am. I am holding the energy, I've been told over and over again, for some specific reason in the area where I am. And I love that area, and I don't want to leave it. So it's something else has to happen for me to be able to maintain.
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Say your name again. Is it Irene? I apologize. It's
Irene. Please
Irene. Okay, Irene. Is it okay if I place my hands on you energetically?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay. So one of the things that I'm sure you're familiar with, Irene, right? I'm sure everyone on the call is this ancient wisdom: as above, so below. You're familiar with that, right?
Yes.
You've heard it before? Yeah.
Yes.
And what a lot of people think that means is that the below reflects the above. And this makes a lot of sense. Developmentally, in stage one and stage two consciousness, we're really focused on the above, right? Because the above is what really matters.
Yeah.
It's all the stuff out
seeking.
There, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. I want to seek. I want to create. I want the life that I want, et cetera, et cetera. It's all these projections of the separate self. But actually, what this wisdom is doing is it's like a little wink and a nod. It's acknowledging in stage one and two what we perceive as most important. So it leads with as above. Oh, good. Separate self gets excited. As above, that's what I care about. But then there's the truth, the whole self, underneath everything else, underneath it all, so below. So if you think about, and you're actually beginning to do some embodiment right now, my hands are starting to buzz, my feet are buzzing intermittently, I don't know what you're feeling yet, and you're welcome to give voice to it if you want, you just interrupt me. But
yeah,
I'm going to keep going.
Feel,
go ahead.
I feel more.
Go ahead, you're fine.
I feel more connected than I did before.
Yes,
you're right.
Beautiful. So as you embody, what happens is you become fully present. And this is all happening in the below. In fact, initially, my recommendation is just to focus on the below, just to do embodiment practice over and over and over again. Just practice embodiment. And there are some other practices as well that we'll probably talk about, right? Whether it's while you're on the fun arena or not, but we'll talk about them before we're done today. And in those practices, what you'll find is ways of uncovering and cultivating a system of being in the below that is already within you. It's the thing you're seeking, but the thing is, like so many people, we're seeking it in the above, but we can uncover it, enliven it, embody it, and integrate it in the below. And then what happens is over time, it begins to integrate into the above. But if we focus on getting it to integrate in the above, gigs off. It has to all be about being present within. So I think what I want to make this invitation to you as well, Irene, and everyone in the circle, everyone who's listening, get on the Facebook page and share not just what's unfolding now, but at the end. We'll do this exercise together. We'll do this practice. It's going to be brief. It's, I don't know, 10 or maybe 12 minutes, something like that. It'll be an abbreviated version, but you'll still, there'll be a lot of stuff that gets stirred up that goes on. Share it. I'll get on. We can interact together on Facebook. And what you're getting there is a glimpse into what is available in the below. And then as you cultivate and support that, these other things actually literally take care of themselves. I know it sounds sort of dismissive. There are probably some big decisions that you need to make and so on. But if you could just come into the presence of the experience of your embodied divine resonance, be in that in the below, eventually.
And trust.
Yes. Oh,
and
absolutely. Trust.
Yeah. And yeah. Trust. That's absolutely amazing what you're saying, because when we're in stage one and two, we don't really exist. We start
That's
to
right.
become the life
That's
that
right.
we chose, and then we move beyond that.
Yes, that's exactly right. Beautifully said, Irene. And in fact, we can't go into stage three without trust. And what's fascinating is we don't have to just catapult into stage three. In fact, you can't from stage one. If you try to surrender in stage one, you'll just feel like a bigger victim. You'll feel like God rejected you even more. It's just simple mechanics. You can't really let go of control until you've developed the sense of control. And once you've developed a sense of control, if you've cultivated the embodiment experience, what you're cultivating is a visceral relationship with the divine by whatever name. And then you're not surrendering to something out there. You're surrendering to the thing that is manifest or evidenced by the feeling that you have within your body. I find it easier to surrender when I have that level of intimacy with the divine. It's still challenging. But in that letting go, we open to complete freedom. We actually open to the thing that we've been seeking in the above, but can't
yeah.
achieve by releasing it and going below. Beautiful, Irene. Well, I would love to hear more about your experience as we continue our conversation, Ian and I, and perhaps with other callers, people on the web, and so on. But I'm so grateful that you called in and shared this and gave voice to this. I know there are so many people who feel exactly as you do right now. Big decisions are up, some challenges in the above. My prescription is let's seek resonance below, but let's not seek it. Let's experience it. Let's uncover it. And let's do it in a way that's predictable and repeatable, and then let's come back to it over and over again. And over time, the above will take care of itself.
It really has to do with trust. And when you have trust, it's basically faith.
Yeah. And you're right, Irene. But here's the thing. If trust is a bridge too far, embodiment leads us to that trust, right?
Okay.
If you're in stage two and you're thinking, I'm supposed to create reality and God's my servant,
you're
but
missing,
I don't know what
missing
I
want. You're missing
exactly.
the boat.
Exactly.
Amazing logic.
Yes.
I'm so grateful
yes.
for
Yeah.
Thank you.
In fact, Irene, I want to thank you so much for raising your hand. And I just want to share this with everyone in the circle as we make a little transition here. Irene, thank you so much. Much gratitude and peace to you and to Fawn earlier.
Thank you.
Speaking of boats, let's use a boat as a metaphor for just a minute, Ian. So the mind is like a mast of a sailboat. And it's got sails on it. It's all rigged up and it's snazzy and it's really important. But if you think about it, if you put a mast with sails out to sea, it just falls over and sinks. It can't do anything. Winds of opportunity, winds of challenge come up. That's embodiment in the head. That's stage one. Now, if we plant that mast in the hull of a boat, now we appear to have a boat. Hallelujah. We're embodied down to the heart, stage two consciousness, head and heart. Mast, sails, hull. Put the sea out or put the boat out to sea. Problem is, winds of opportunity and challenge come up, and that boat capsizes because its center of gravity is too high. It's weighted towards the mind and the feeling of the hull, right? But if we drop the keel in this boat, if we drop into our hips, if we embody, now we put that boat back out to sea. Winds of opportunity, winds of challenge blow. That thing is counterbalanced beautifully. It performs as the undistorted expression of the divine that you are. Now the full capacity of your mind and your heart are enlivened because they are planted in the hips with the keel through your embodiment.
Beautiful. You still there?
I'm with you.
All right.
I'm 100% with you.
All right.
I got carried away. It's like I'm on the pulpit here, pounding the pulpit. My apologies if I'm getting too carried away, Ian.
No. I mean, this is such an amazing conversation. And as I said earlier, I personally resonate so greatly with this, and I know that the community is resonating as well. You can feel it. You can hear it. You can hear it in the voices of those who have come through and those who haven't quite come through yet. And there are still some hands up, of course. We won't be able to get to everyone, but we will get to a couple more in just a bit. But Ken, why don't we do this? I know that people are going, well, I'd like to hear more. I'd like to hear how to work with Ken because, you know, there is resonance and the vibrations are reaching people's hearts. So let's share with everyone how they can work with you. But before you do so, everyone, if you'd like to follow along visually, if you're on the webinar page, click the orange button below Ken's photograph. If you're on the webinar page, it'll say a special offer, and that'll take you to Ken's offer, which is called Spiritual Mastery. And if you're not on the webinar page, but you want to type it in, then you can type in WOTA, that stands for Wisdom of the Ancients. It's just WOTA Summit. So WOTASummit.com/Ken, K-E-N. WOTASummit.com/Ken. And you can follow along visually. So Ken has an offer where he has three options available to you. And Ken, if you would, I would really like for you to take people through the offer. Because this is your offer, and you know it obviously so much better than I do. Because it's yeah. So if you wouldn't mind, tell people how they can work with you and what they get in the various options.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Ian. So if you just think about, let's just close our eyes for a minute, because I want to relate what we just did to what we're about to talk about, and want to just see this through line and so that everyone can feel this for just a minute, and then we'll look at the website together. So embodiment opens the door to an experience that is beyond our mind's imagining or intention even. It's bigger than you, than what you think you are. And that experience begins to open a different perspective. And one name for that perspective is enlightenment or full integration. And my name for that is spiritual mastery. And it comes from my own bias. It must be the bias of my separate self from years ago when I first heard the word enlightenment and saw a picture of Godlight on Eckhart Tolle's incredible book, The Power of Now, and it had enlightenment in the subtitle. And I couldn't figure out why my mortgage coach had sent it to me to help me be a better salesperson. And I was fully annoyed that she would waste the postage getting it to me. And when I finally sat down and read it, I cried through the whole thing. But still, my separate self wondered, is enlightenment something – cried for the truth, by the way, tears of truth. But my separate self wondered, is this something more than what I'm capable of? And then years later, I discover my gift and I realize, well, for anyone who looks at the world the way I do, let's call it spiritual mastery. Okay, so this package includes basically three different experiences, and each one builds on the next. It's sequential. So there's an introduction to spiritual mastery class, and this program covers 9 core themes that are, from my perceptual view, these are the bedrock that underlie anything we would build upon. If we're going to, this is our excavation, right? This is the excavation down to the truth. These are the core key things, spiritual mastery or enlightenment, and the pathways to mastery. That's the first session. It's a self-study program. So the minute you sign up for this, you get the first class. It delivers online, and you can listen to the MP3 online, or you can download it to your phone or your computer and listen to it whenever you want. And then the class drips itself to you. You get an email, and it says, okay, here comes session 2. And session 2 is on the illusion of separation. And each session is not just me teaching it, but also then me going into transmission, which I'm going to do before we wrap up here on this call. I'm going to do this. We'll go do some embodiment work together. I'll be in transmission with you. So you'll get a little preview of what that is. Each of these sessions includes transmission, and then there's actually Q&A going on during the session as well, so you can hear other people's questions. And then the online learning system where you're receiving all of this, which I call the Resonance Institute, you can submit your questions there, and I'll personally respond to you on that online learning. And then session 3 is the 4 stages of consciousness, much greater depth than I could go into in just a couple of minutes here. And then session 4 is the control myth, and then on healing, and then we get into embodiment, your intuitive guidance system. Then we talk about living in the mirror, and then we set up those 6 practices of spiritual mastery in the 9th session. And actually, that's the concluding session for the introduction to spiritual mastery. And then if you want, you could do package B, which includes the introduction to spiritual mastery plus foundations of spiritual mastery. So we've excavated the bedrock underneath everything else. We've established some core sort of agreements or facts or truths that we're not only discovering intellectually, but we're experiencing viscerally. I like to think of that as embodied knowledge. It's kind of different than blah, 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 talking about something. It's like the difference between somebody says, when you hold your newborn baby, here's what it feels like. And then you hold a newborn baby, or maybe your own newborn baby.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a different deal. That's embodied knowledge. That's what I'm so fired up about, is the embodied knowledge that would go with spiritual mastery. And so anyway, in the foundations of spiritual mastery, I teach you through video and then facilitate through audio the 6 practices of spiritual mastery. So now we've gone from uncovering and discovering and experiencing to learning and practicing the actual spiritual practices. And the 6 practices are embodiment, calling power home, piercing separation. There's a practice I call beneath the sand, which I can explain in greater depth about. But for now, let's just call it a visceral practice of wholeness. And I want to footnote this for just a moment. What I mean by that is that when you go beneath the sand, when you practice beneath the sand, you, not because you said, I'm whole, I feel whole, but because you actually experienced wholeness at the level of your physical body, in your mind, and so on, greater than something you could have imagined, viscerally felt wholeness. That's what that practice is. We can talk more about it if it's of interest. That's the fourth practice. And then the fifth practice of spiritual mastery, of course, is surrender. I like to call it throw out the map. We let go not just of all of the how, but also the what. God, take me wherever you're going to take me. I'm done trying to give directions. Lead me onward. I will follow. And then the sixth practice of spiritual mastery is integration, which I like to think of as keep digging. If we're going to use the archaeological metaphor here, we uncover the treasure, the embodied wholeness of divine resonance within. We surrender to it. We make it available to every part of our lives. As we surrender, we integrate the separate self. Those two things are intimately connected. And then we practice surrender and so on. And here's kind of one of the neat things about Foundations of Spiritual Mastery. Once you're done, so that's another 30 days of self-study. Once you're done with that, then you get to participate in a community that I've been serving and supporting for, well, since the fall of 2010. What is that? 7.5, almost 8 years now. I've been doing weekly transmissions for the sanctuary. And this is exclusively for other graduates of Foundations of Spiritual Mastery, or I teach a live version of Foundations called Amplifying Resonance. It's exclusively for grads of those two programs. So now you're joining people who are sitting in resonance every week live with me for between 60 and 90 minutes a week. And you get to ask questions of me live and interact with me live. And then we go into transmission. I teach something for maybe 10 or 15 minutes or reflect on stuff. And then we just sink in deeper and deeper in integration. And then there are actually a couple of DVDs that we'll ship out to you. One of them is called A Journey into Healing, which was a extremely vulnerable talk I gave in the fall of 2011, Ian. And in this talk, I shared how I had just goofed up all sorts of different things in my life. At the time, people were discovering my gifts and they were thinking, oh my gosh, you walk on water, you're this amazing person. And I'm like, no, I'm not this amazing person. I am just a regular, everyday person. Maybe I'm not even as interesting as an everyday person. And here are some examples of this. Not only do I share that, but then I talk about my journey from 2007 up to 2011 at the time I gave that talk, which was on the fourth, just almost exactly on the fourth anniversary of when I learned of my gifts. And that's a DVD, A Journey into Healing. And then the other one is it's called A Divine Transmission, and it's the group session that accompanied that talk and the Q&A that went on. Those ship out once you've completed. And then if you want to add, everyone take a breath with me, if you want to add a 30-minute one-on-one session with me, then you can go to Package C, and you can add literally one-on-one time with me where I'm just working with you. And the reason that they're sequenced this way is that everyone starts with intro to spiritual mastery. And then when you're done with that, then you do foundations of spiritual mastery. And when you're done with that, then you get the sanctuary for 12 weeks for free. It's included. And once you've graduated from foundations, if you do package C, then you'll get an email that says, hey, we're ready to schedule your session. All you need to do is just fill out some information so we know your time zone and et cetera, and a few details. Because when I get on the phone with you to work one-on-one, what I don't want to do is take 15 minutes to get updated on your life. I want to get in and get after exactly what you want to focus on. I want that to be the most powerful 30 minutes of spiritual work you've ever done in your life. And by the time you've gone through the intro to spiritual mastery and the foundations of spiritual mastery, you and I are going to be in a state of deep resonance together, even though we haven't yet been one-on-one. And then maybe you're in the sanctuary for a little bit, and when you're ready, you fill out that little form and get the 30-minute session, and away we go. All right, I'm going to take a pause here, Ian, because maybe there are some things I'm not remembering about or that you think are important to highlight, or maybe we just need some silence because, as Miles Davis said, the silence is more important than the notes. And I couldn't agree more,
yeah.
Even though I just talked.
Yeah. Well, take a sip of water. And so my question, Ken, is around the private session. So in this private session, is this a session where you take people through the embodiment process, or what is this session? What happens in the session? Is it a general session that can be healing done, or help people understand more what happens in the session?
Yeah. So listen, the way that I like to approach this session is whatever is most important for you at that time. Okay. So you have my complete presence. You have all of my witnessing presence and all the gifts God has given me, and they are just for you. So some people go into that session and you've already learned about embodiment, practiced it, done the embodiment practice, done beneath the sand, you've done all these things, but maybe there's something that isn't quite clicking the place, or you've got a question, or you want to work on something in your body. Some people come into that session and they're really interested in, look, I am feeling called to be a messenger, and I know you work with messengers, and I'm wondering if we can explore that. Awesome. I come to that session absolutely trusting that whatever is coming up for you is exactly what's needed for the next step in your journey, whoever you are and wherever you are. And I will tell you, quite literally, I've had world-renowned messengers who have come on telesummits and got a package to have a one-on-one session with me to have 30 minutes. And that's great. And yeah. I've worked with other people who are just waking up spiritually and are going, holy moly, this is a rocket ride. What do we do next? And then that's what we work on. So it's, for me, I want to serve and support. I assure you, this is not a prepackaged anything. It is my absolute presence, and I have very little time to work with people one-on-one on a sustaining basis, so it's not a wind-up to come become a private client of mine either. I just want to be present with you and give you exactly what is needed for the next step in your spiritual journey. Whoever you are, wherever you are in your journey in consciousness, wherever you are on the planet, and so on, and just deeply, deeply serve you.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So if I'm someone who signs up for this, one of these packages, and as you know, I am, so for me, I am in my own journey, along the path to embodiment. I didn't really, you know, I've never heard you speak in this detail before. So, you know, this wasn't prearranged that, oh, by the way, this happens to be something that is my personal holy grail. I on my own journey towards unity consciousness, really, really resonate with what you're saying. And so for those other people that are out there who are really resonating with what you're saying, and they're saying to themselves, I want to experience the experience of divine embodiment. What would you say to them? Where do they need to go with respect to the packages?
Look, first of all, Ian, you've obviously done a lot of work. You are somebody who is really committed to your spiritual growth and so on. Don't let the label Introduction to Spiritual Mastery fool you. It will meet you exactly where you're at. It will meet you in exactly the advanced place or exactly the beginning place that you are. And for the people who are like you, who are really deeply resonating with you, my invitation is to Package C. Come learn and expose and excavate the bedrock, then build the foundation on top of it, and then let's spend some one-on-one time together. And it's going to be an incredible, incredible journey together. All told, you'll have 2 months before anything next, the next thing you'll have is 2 months of really powerful self-study resources, then leading into 3 months of live transmissions, plus in there at a time that works at both of our calendars, we'll have 30 minutes one-on-one. This is going to be a powerful springboard for people that are really ready for this. And there may be people who are thinking, look, would love to drink from this. I'd love to have this experience, and I'm going to put my toe in, and I want to start with Introduction to Spiritual Mastery. Awesome. That's why it's there. But for people who are reflecting the way that you're talking, Ian, and feeling that way, man, let's do it. Let's do intro, let's do foundations, and let's spend the 30 minutes together, and let's see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's 30 minutes, everyone. You know, we don't want to necessarily draw attention to, you know, the value, but I do want to say, because I do know that Ken is very, very, very sought after, and his time is valued very, very highly. And so if you just look at this in the context of his time alone, even the package C would be substantially less than you would pay, like, quote unquote, off the street if you were even able to meet with Ken one-on-one, which I don't know if Ken, are you even taking clients anymore?
I don't even do 30 minute sessions. And it's just, yeah, I mean, I occasionally will take a new messenger client, but I'm really wanting to focus my time one-on-one with serving messengers that are out in the world with a big message and who are in that kind of last 3%. I find that the impact of that work is just huge because those people are influencing and working, and as their gift expresses more fully. And so, I mean, I'm not trying to make a big deal out of it. It's just, those are the people that I really feel called to work with one-on-one. I love working with everyone. I mean, I love connecting. You can hear it when you know, Irene gets on the phone or Fawn gets on the phone. It's so wonderful to have that opportunity. And I would just echo what you're saying. I mean, if you feel called to do some one-on-one work, capitalize on the opportunity, take advantage of it. It's true. I mean, the investment for Package C is less than the true market value for a 30-minute session, which you can't even – I just don't do those. I don't do except in very rare instances, and really with this community right now, with your community for this group. Because of you, Ian. I mean, that's really the bottom line. It's because of you. When I emailed you, when you called me, I was like, look, man, I've been saying no to a lot of people, and it's not because there aren't wonderful people out there. I'm just feeling really called to be working on my book and writing right now. I feel like that's what God's calling me to. But for some reason, your email, like, stuck out in all the right ways. So let's get on the phone. And, I mean, look, we're here because of you, from my standpoint. This is all because of you. It's a huge credit to your resonance and who you are as a messenger, and I'm just really honored to be here. Not trying to say the big deal is me. Just I'm humbled to have a chance to serve and support. And yeah, for people that feel called to that Package C, let's do it. Let's spend the time together. Let's make the exploration. Let's make the commitment.
Yeah, and you know, by extension, and I'm here for the community. So I'm here for all the shining lights and the stars that are listening.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, so this information is being called forth, and you know, you're delivering the information. It's just flowing right through you, through me, into the community. So the community here, Wisdom of the Ancients, was ready to hear this message, and I believe that's why you probably said yes. I'm happy being on your show. So anyway, I'm happy that you're on the show.
I mean, look, it's making me cry right now. And it sounds cheesy, but I am moved to sit in this circle, to sit with each and every person here, to have a chance to share the awareness, the insights, the gifts that the divine has given me and is expressing. I mean, the truth is the divine is a mystery. It's an unknowable mystery. And everything that I teach in these programs, this is the same stuff that people have spent literally tens of thousands of dollars tens and tens to do that, this work one-on-one. You can do it for a fraction of that and do some one-on-one work for a fraction of that. But the point is, between these two programs, this is 90% of what I do around spiritual mastery is contained in these two programs. It's just, and the 10% that's not contained, you pick up in the sanctuary. I mean, it is, it is intended to be a very open resource that meets you and supports you today and for months and decades to come, wherever you're at in your spiritual journey. I'm just really honored and humbled to have a chance to share it with your circle, with your community, and to be here today.
Beautiful. Well, let's do this. Let's go to the web and let's do a web question, because Sandy from Sarasota, Florida, Sandy says, "Hello, I don't know what's going on, but I'm tingling hands and feet and it's moving inward." And Sandy's actually on the webcast because she typed this in probably, 20 minutes ago. She said, "I'm tingling and it's moving inward. Is there a message for me? I'm open and willing to hear."
Yes, there is a message for you. The message is the divine is within, Sandy, and the divine is ready to erupt more fully in, through, and as you, as the expression of that mystery. So the message is, it's okay to let go of control. It's okay to sink in. It's okay to be the spiritual master that you are. And in the process, to let go of those conventional reference points, those context points that make sense rationally, but that it's okay to let go of them now and really be who you truly are. Because the one that lit us all up, the one that animates all of us, is alive and well within you, and you are feeling it. That is awesome. Congratulations, Sandy. It's beautiful. It's true of all of us. It's wonderful to hear you're feeling it already. That's great.
Beautiful. Well, let's do one more live caller, and then we'll do the process. So everyone, get ready to be taken through the process that Ken was talking about earlier. And I'll have you in just a second, Ken, just tell everyone what you're going to be taking us through. But before we do that, let's go to New Hampshire. So New Hampshire, from Sunapee, New Hampshire.
Actually, it's Sunapee. That's wonderful. It's actually an Indian name, if you can believe it. Yeah.
Okay. Welcome.
This is Luann.
Hi, Luann.
And,
you said Luann?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Luann. Okay, beautiful,
thank
Luann.
Yeah. Thank you, Ian, for bringing this, because this is intriguing. I had so many questions, and I was curious about the process, and then as we went further, I really just, that embodiment piece is what I've been working toward, in that working around some fear about going within, and this sounds really good.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Luann. It's, you know, what's interesting, Luann, is that there is generally some fear, right? Because when we anchor to the above, that's the conventional world out here. You know, if I open my eyes, I can see trees and sky and, you know, maybe somebody walking. And if I, you know, put my eyeballs up in the sky, I can see people driving and, you know, all these things that are conventional. And we think that operates by a certain set of rules, and we're pretty sure we understand them. But then there's something going on. There's some tension with those conventional rules. What don't we really understand? And eventually we get to a point in our lives where we realize it's turning inward. That's the answer. But it's scary, isn't it? To let go, to go be present with that stuff inside. The thing I think you'll find here in just a few minutes, Luann, when we go into embodiment and then through the spiritual mastery programs too, if you feel called into those, I think what you'll find is that each step of the way, it will raise more questions. You'll think, further into the mystery, what happens next? You'll see I sign my emails, "Further into the mystery, all the more extraordinary with you. Love, Ken." It's because how I see it. It is more extraordinary with you. And you'll find it's more extraordinary as well. But it'll be more extraordinary in all the ways that you never thought of or expected. And that's kind of the point of turning inward. it's not exactly what we think. And what it does is it stirs up our separate self, right? The separate self goes, oh, my gosh, everything is going to come to an end. And it has to be animated. How else could it be integrated? Your separate self has got to kick up its heels and get a little excited so you know exactly what needs to be integrated. But through embodiment, there's this return to the peace of God that is within you. It's within everyone, and you don't have to push for it. You just sink into it. It's right there inside you, right now. And it will continue to meet you, guide you deeper into that mystery. And, yeah, anyway, I didn't mean to talk over you. Did you have something coming up?
No, it's just that's exactly where you sort of know all of this, esoterically, like you know that you're one and that oneness and that divinity is within you and yet haven't felt it. And that's where the embodiment piece was. And I love the idea of burning a lot of the stuff up because a lot of it has been, part of it also has been not wanting to feel my feelings. And it feels like that's going to help me also be in the body and be more at peace and more comfortable in the body.
Amen. What a great thing to point out too, Luann. What you're saying is so important to underscore. Your job in embodiment is to feel whatever comes up. Maybe it's ecstasy. Maybe it's joy. Maybe it's grief like nothing you've ever felt before. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's pain. But whatever it is, feel it fully. Because in the presence of your embodied soul, which is the pathway or the vehicle through which we encounter the divine directly, in that presence, it is transmuted to the degree that you feel whatever is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And the hot fire, it's maybe not the best metaphor because who wants to go dance in a hot fire? But think of a hot fire not as something that burns as in blisters your skin. It burns like physical resonance. It's the buzzing of your true nature. It's the thing. You know, I've never shared this before ever in a public talk. I did a regression to a prior lifetime way back when, back at the beginning. And there was a lifetime when I was burned at the stake. And I went through it. I actually felt the feeling of being burned at the stake. For speaking my truth, something, I know this would come as a shock to you, something outrageous like embodiment or something, right? So, and I was, let's say, maybe this clear-spoken, maybe more clear-spoken than I am now. But here's the key. Burned at the stake, do you know what it felt like to me? It felt like the same thing that happens when I'm in transmission. It felt like my hands and feet, my whole body being consumed by the presence of the divine, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the divine mystery, whatever name you want to put on it, my embodied presence. That's what it felt like. That's amazing.
That is.
That's amazing.
That is. That absolutely is.
So let the fire, let the consuming fire be a good thing that draws you into a deeper and deeper experience of resonance, whatever that it means to you, by whatever filter you want to apply to resonance in your life. Beautiful, Luann.
Yeah,
I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you.
And I extend the same invitation to you, Luann, and everyone else who's listening in. We can connect on Ian's Facebook group and have a chat or inside the Introduction to Spiritual Mastery program. Or one-on-one if you want to do package C. In any case, I'm glad you raised your hand. It's wonderful to hear your voice and connect in this way.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Well, Ken, should we switch gears metaphorically? And if you wouldn't mind, tell people about the process, and if you wouldn't mind, take us through that process.
I'd love to do that. So maybe you've already become aware of this, you the listener, you, all of us in this circle. That's what I mean when I say you. Maybe you've already come aware that there's nothing else to be doing right now. But just in case you're listening, like you called in and you're listening, please don't drive or operate heavy equipment while we do this. Because one of the things that some of my students report is that all of a sudden they'll drop out when they're doing embodiment. One minute they hear my voice, and the next minute they're gone. They think they're falling asleep. I assure them, and I assure you, you're not falling asleep. You're doing some very, very deep work. So it's just not safe to drive and do this. So please take a moment and pull off the side of the road if you're listening to this recording or called in live. I really mean it. It's really important. So the other thing we're going to do is we're going to use as our reference point, I'll say whatever I'm guided to say, but we're going to use as our reference point sort of traditional energetic, physio-energetic points in the body and the chakras as a way of descending from the crown down into the hips. But as I'm doing this, I'm actually going to be moving my hands energetically. And you'll know that I've begun the sort of transmission part of our time together when I say, let's begin. And you definitely don't want to be driving when I say, let's begin. Okay. So, or even riding a bike. So the other thing is, I'm going to just take us through a very brief process, like a little guided meditation to kind of move from a thinking posture to a feeling posture, to a being place. And we'll do that here in just a moment. Last thing, let's close our eyes together, breathe in and out through the nostrils, palms to the sky if it's comfortable for you. Let's take a deep breath in and hold. As you release this breath now, letting go of everything that has come before since we started our time together today, all the insights, all the ahas, all the confusion, anything that's come up for you, for that matter, anything that's come up in this day, just release it all, opening to the blank slate of the mystery within, out to the count of eight. And as you're releasing that breath, just remind you, the divine's within you no matter how you hold your body. So why not be comfortable? Sitting or lying down doesn't matter. Just be in a comfortable position. Another deep breath in and hold. And as you begin releasing this breath now, letting go of everything that has come before since the first of the year, all the dissonance for sure, but also all the resonance. Because whatever awareness and insights about who you are and how you express in the world, whatever comes up around that, there's a bigger, more complete, more embodied expression of the mystery as you. And if you let it go now, it makes way for more of the mystery to express in through and as you. Out to the count of eight. You may already be feeling waves of resonance moving through the body. I can feel it in my body. If you're not feeling it yet, that's okay. Whatever's coming up for you is perfect. One last deep breath in and hold. And as you begin releasing this breath now, letting go of everything that has come before since the inception of your soul, all the way out to the count of eight, let it go, let it go, let it go. If any of the words that I say don't make sense, don't worry, it's not about the words. The words are imbued with something much deeper. It's happening underneath the words, for which there are no words. So if the words you hear don't make sense to your mind, don't worry about it. The experience is what matters. For whatever remains in separation, I invite you to remove the universal plug. I'll do the same. And let's begin. Consider seven. Consider a stream, water flowing down a hill. But the hill initially barely shows an incline. The water, as it begins moving lower,
begins at the top of your head. But rather than pouring outside of you, it pours into you. And rather than passing through you, it fills you up. It occupies every part of you, including the outermost part, the skin, the skull and the head, and everything inside. It comes to union with every part of you. It does whatever it will do, just as water flowing downhill does whatever it will do. Initially, maybe there's rain or some smaller streams or threads of water that are moving over this hillside. They're beneath the grass. They're in the dirt. They're not visible. But at some point, they start gathering and becoming a larger expression of that stream flowing, maybe just barely perceivable stream flowing. And sometimes it drops from view. It goes somewhere we can't see, but it reappears a little lower on the hill, or sometimes under a rock, or it fills up a place where there is sand soaking every grain. Six. As you descend into your body, what is being animated and what is animating are not important. Feeling whatever is coming up is, no matter how wonderful or not. Initially, there might be some discomfort in the head. Those kinds of headaches are just an indication there's a lot of integration going on. They'll clear. In fact, whatever comes up to be felt will clear. It will transmute, though it may not feel that way now or maybe even later. Six, as more of those streams gather, the river gets larger, the places that were filled up within and around on the hillside of your body, of your field, and your being are imbued with this river of divine presence, this embodying soul, this animating form and expression. Five. Perhaps it feels as though the water stops flowing or hits a resistance point. Remember, when enough of the water gathers, it will eventually spill over and continue to pour down the hill. When the fire burns hot enough, it will transmute whatever is coming up for attention. Don't concern yourself with the details. B. Four. Be as you are, not as you think you should be, not as you feel you should be. None of the refinements are necessary here. No pretending, no faking it. Be as you are. B. No doing. No thinking, just being. If your mind starts thinking, well, I wonder what's happening right now, that's fine. Just remind it that this river is flowing and be with the flow of the river. You could return to the top of your head, like putting a little rubber ducky in the stream and let it float down through the core of your being. Notice it fills up your left and your right earlobes and your jaw. Three, your collarbone. Not just these individual aspects of you, but the totality of you. Three, in the movement through the body, a tipping point is reached. The place in the solar plexus where your individual will descends and meets divine will, divine presence coming up from the hips. Inevitably, this animates some part of the deep mystery. Be with whatever is coming up. 3. There is nothing for you to do. The one in charge is known as the divine or the nameless one, or however you refer to that energy. You need not direct it any more than you need to hold an intention sitting next to a river in your community that it flow downhill. The river is flowing. The divine is descending into every part of you. Your soul is embodying. It's doing what it does because this is what it was made for. This is what you were made for. And whatever experiences of dissonance you've had to this point in your life, they were there to support you in profoundly integrating those aspects of the separate self that were hidden away. So too it is now. Whatever is being animated or drawn up to the surface as you till the soil of the garden of your presence, if logs come up, they will be consumed. Just feel them. 2. Once you thought, it's important for me to play a role in how this river moves downhill, and so you held intentions, the river will flow downhill. Later, you forgot of the river, you turned its back, your back on it, and still the river flowed. You turned around and reminded yourself, reacquainted yourself with the river, and the river was flowing. Once you thought the river was outside of you, a place to go visit and be as a break, a respite from the doing and the thinking and the feeling of regular life. But now you're discovering the being of the river within you. It's always been here. 1. It's who you are. Don't worry about trying to describe it or give voice to it right now. Just be in the mystery of it. It's a mystery that continues to reveal itself in, through, and as you. The more present you are, 1. The pathway to presence, to divine resonance, is your embodiment. And there's nothing to do except to feel whatever's coming up, however disparate it might be to the deeper experience of who you really are. If it weren't coming up, it wouldn't be necessary right now. 1. And if you thought this experience was about the words, do it again and discover something different. 1. And there are a couple of things that I want to do to bring the embodiment experience to completion, but I just thought I'd check in and see. My mouth is buzzing. Maybe that means you have something coming up to share or give voice to. I know we've ran a little long. My apologies, but not really. I think every moment was essential. Just grateful that everyone's still here for the experience. Anything coming up to reflect on or share about your experience of embodiment?
Well, I need to have a stand in continue the rest of the show. because, I mean, that took me to a very, you know, when you meditate and you almost go into the nothingness and then you're gone. When you're conscious of either, you know, elevating, sometimes I get the feeling of rising up to the ceiling. It took me to that place. I had various degrees and levels of tingling in various parts of my body. My face, like the left part of my face would tingle, and I had some movement over there. Definitely all sorts of visualizations came in. A lot of, I don't know, what's the term for a person with an animal's head, like a fox head and a person's body?
Oh, yeah, like an animal totem, yeah, beautiful.
Yeah, so a lot of those came in. But, you know, this is definitely something that I would want to go back and listen to again. Yeah, definitely go back and listen to again. So, for those of you who are wanting to take this with you, then I would definitely encourage you to get the collection so that you can download this to your phone or your computer. All right, Ken, let me hand it back to you.
Yeah. So it's the thing we're doing here is we're uncovering. And basically, we're just beginning to uncover. We're just barely scraping the surface. We're just beginning to enter and experience that sacred container known as the embodied divine as you, in you. And from here, every other expression of your wholeness is revealed. The deeper, more embodied experience of who you are, this experience continues to deepen and expand. With practice, it goes deeper and deeper. More is transmuted. The experience of wholeness, of calling power home, a piercing separation. Surrender, which might seem like a big step, just a small one. It's the next natural step when you're ready, when it's the next thing to do. It's the biggest and smallest thing you've ever done. The integrated and embodied you is here. Your gifts, your divine mission, your purpose, your body as whole, your mind as whole. Your life in resonance, the joy, the connection, all these things, but not as an artifact of the mind, but as an expression of the embodied divine, as the total ship, the mast and the sails, yes, planted in the heart, the head and the heart, planted and supported by the keel, embodied in your hips. What a treat it is to share this experience with you, even just this teeny tiny little scratch of the surface. It is a wonderful sip from that pool, that oasis, that lake, that divine presence that we've been seeking outside of us. Here it is, inside each one of us, inside you right now. With that, I invite you to return the universal plug. I'll do the same as I bring this transmission to a close. Deep gratitude to each and every member of this circle and to our wonderful leader, Ian, for your presence, your consciousness, for the vision to draw together this experience and this community, for the privilege and honor of sitting with you, Ian, and everyone in the community. And once again, the invitation, if this work, if this experience resonates with you, whatever it is, package A, B, or C, I'd really be honored to take that next step with you for the conscious part of my life experience and maybe for a little bit of my separate self. I'm jumping up and down for the folks that are doing C because I get to connect with you one-on-one. Mm. But however it is, whether we connect inside the class, the program, on the Facebook community here in the next, you know, whatever it is, hour or two, communicate and share there inside the program. Ian, thank you for this extraordinary experience of sitting in resonance with you and your community and just connecting on a deep, deep soul level. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and sharing your essence with everyone. Sharing your authenticity and integrity, we could really feel that. And I know that myself and so many of the community did resonate with what you were saying. It's really, you know, when truth comes through, truth comes through. And that vibration that it carries can really penetrate any veil that we have, any facade that we have, that truth comes right through, and we know when truth is speaking to us. And we heard that today, so thank you. We really appreciate having you here. It was an honor speaking with you and having you share your beautiful gifts and really your time and your and all your abilities that were given to you by the divine. So thank you again.
Much love to you, Ian, and to everyone in the circle here. Much love and peace. Thank you.
Thank you. And to all you beautiful members of the community, thank you so much for being here. We thank Divine Mother, Divine Father, Mother Earth, and Father Sun, all the beautiful divine beings of love, light, power, and service. Thank you for being here, and love you all, and we'll see you again. Okay, much love. Thanks to you all. Bye now.